Sun on the Strip, and I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer at the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news and fun this week from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. Lady Gaga is back, probably the biggest headlining residency show in Las Vegas right now, returns to Park Theater Thursday night and Saturday night. That's Enigma. But she also has her alternative production, Jazz and Piano, set for a Sunday night show. And her band leader and collaborator for Jazz and Piano, New York City-based trumpeter and singer Brian Newman, is also back at Park MGM for his own residency, Brian Newman After Dark, at the Nomad Restaurant. Those shows start at 11 p.m. on Thursday, October 17th, and continue Friday and Saturday. I just spoke with Brian a few days ago, and I'm going to share that interview with you on this episode of The Pod. But before that, let's talk TV a little bit. Specifically, we're going to talk about Friends, the iconic NBC sitcom from the 90s and early 2000s, because it is having a moment, or actually several moments, in Las Vegas this week. AT&T and Warner Brothers Television Group have been collaborating to celebrate this year's 25th anniversary of Friends, and those two giant media companies have teamed with our own giant entertainment company, MGM Resorts International, for a series of free, open-to-the-public events celebrating Friends this week. Joining the show today to discuss is Las Vegas Weekly staff writer Cindy Moon Reed. Cindy, thanks for coming back to Sun on the Strip.
You know, I'll be there for you, Brock.
Oh, geez. How did I not see that coming? I do appreciate you being here for me to not sing those lyrics again. I thought it was funny when I asked you if you were a Friends fan via email this week. You had a funny response that you were not really a fan, but obviously you know of it.
I mean, I was alive during the entire time that the Friends show was filming, and so you couldn't miss it. I mean, it started, I wasn't allowed to watch it because I was too young. Somehow I ended up still watching it anyways. I enjoyed it. It's definitely this piece of American nostalgia that seemed so hip and current at the time, and now seems gloriously dated, dating back to a time when things were better.
I agree with your assessment. It kind of feels like the last, I know it wasn't actually like the last great sitcom to be that huge, but it seems like it to me, maybe because it is so dated. It was so of its era. I'm a little bit older than you, so I was in college when this show was happening, I think. High school or college. I just remember that we used to watch ER. That was a big thing for us. We would all get together and watch ER, the drama, the hospital drama show with George Clooney and all those people. And Friends was on before that. So like people would go to each other's houses to watch Friends, and then I would kind of ignore Friends and wait for ER to come on.
Already a hipster, even before the term was invented.
I guess so.
But yeah, I mean, I think it dates back to a time when, I mean, certainly cable already existed then, but we didn't have streaming, we didn't have social media, we didn't have smartphones, and so you could get these mega audiences still, which is what makes this such a great collaboration for the Strip, is that there is huge name recognition. I would say that probably everybody in America has heard of Friends, and even some people around the world. I had, when I studied abroad in France and in college, some of my friends had learned to speak English by watching Friends. So Vegas loves that name recognition, and I think this will be a really fantastic collaboration for everybody.
There's going to be a lot of people who are coming to Vegas this weekend just to come to Vegas, and they're going to accidentally stumble upon Friends on the Strip, which is cool, I think. I think we should do these all the time. They should just always do these kinds of things in Las Vegas if they don't already.
I agree. Which one are you most excited about? Because there's a lot of different collaborations.
Well, your favorite song, the Friends theme song, I'll Be There For You by the Rembrandts, is going to be part of a Bellagio Fountain show on Friday the 18th. That's pretty cool. It's always nice when they do something special at the Fountains of Bellagio, because it's obviously, it's probably the most iconic single attraction on the Strip, right? Everybody knows about that, just like everybody knows about Friends.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems like it'll draw some attention.
Well, and if you like the Rembrandts, they are actually going to be performing live the next day at the Brooklyn Bridge at New York, New York.
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah. At noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m. So this is their big moment.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff planned for that. Saturday the 19th on the Brooklyn Bridge in New York, New York, a bunch of different activations they're going to do. I think this is probably the coolest thing, right? A recreation of the Central Perk coffee shop, the pivotal place where the Friends hung out.
Out of
made
Legos.
Out of Legos, yeah.
Legos, 900,000 Lego bricks. It took them 4 months to make this, and it's going to be a life-size recreation. It makes me wonder how comfy that couch will be if it's a Lego couch, though.
I mean, but don't you want to sit on it and get your picture taken nonetheless?
Yes.
Even if it's the most uncomfortable piece of furniture ever constructed.
Yes.
There's also the Phoebe's Yellow Cab escape room as part of that fan experience at New York, New York. I don't really know what that means. There's also this thing called the Seventh Friend Experience.
You can, yeah, record a 3D version of yourself doing Chandler's happy dance. So that should be interesting.
And more special appearances, not just the Rembrandts. Marcel the monkey will be there. Is there any way that's the actual monkey? You know, aren't they just getting another monkey that looks like that monkey? There's no way, right? Tiny monkeys live that long?
I honestly don't. I mean, they could. The press release does say Marcel, Ross's one-time pet capuchin monkey, but if Marcel was the name of the monkey on the TV show, you would think that was a monkey actor playing Marcel, which means that any monkey could play that same role.
Well, he could. Maybe the monkey was playing himself, though. Maybe he actually is Marcel, you know.
We should ask him.
That's interesting. Some animals play their own selves.
Okay,
is the actual name of the animal. Others... Didn't Lassie have a different name or something like that? This is a hole. We're going down a strange rabbit hole.
Lifespan. I'm Googling this right now.
While you do that, there's also going to be an appearance by James Michael Tyler, who played Gunther on Friends. He's going to do a trivia, some trivia games at New York, New York at 2, 5, 8, and 10 p.m., I think you want to catch the 10 p.m. late shift of trivia with Gunther.
Yeah, best chance of winning, because
everybody's going to be
drunk by then. Yeah,
mm-hmm. And monkey's going to be drunk.
Just so you know, that capuchin monkey can live about up to 25 years in the wild, so it's possible that it could be the same monkey.
Maybe 25 years ago, though, that must have been a young monkey. We missed one of the really cool things. Also, the Blue Man Group.
Yes, I'm so excited about this one.
They're going to take that orange sofa from Central Perk and paint it. Do it up Blue Man style.
Do you think it'll be the orange Lego sofa or an orange sofa?
I think it better be the actual sofa from the TV set.
I hope so.
They're going to pull that out of the Friends Museum and paint it all crazy. I hope there's not really a Friends Museum. That seems unnecessary. But that Blue Man sofa is going to be on display near their theater at the Luxor all day, Friday and Saturday. So another great photo op.
Yeah.
For Friends fans. And Blue Man fans.
Technically, this isn't on the Strip, but the D downtown has been doing a Friends musical parody for a while now. I can't remember when it started, but
a couple of years at least, I think.
But they've definitely had success with that. So if you want to take it to the next level, you can also go see that kind of anytime. It's an ongoing show.
I think you have to. If you are a Friends person and you're doing all this Strip stuff, you have to go downtown. Go to the D on Fremont Street and see Friends, the musical parody. I think it's almost every night at 8:30.
Oh, wow. Good memory.
Yeah.
So, Brock, if you were...
I may have looked that up before we started recording.
If you were a Friends character, which one would you be?
The monkey. Certainly the monkey. No.
Friends character.
I don't know.
Would you be George Clooney from ER doing a cameo?
Was there an ER Friends crossover?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But there was the one, I don't know.
I don't really identify with any of these people.
Tom Selleck.
I thought they were all crazy when I watched that show.
Tom Selleck was a guest star, I think.
Yeah.
You could be him.
He had a continuing story arc. He was all over that show. You know who I didn't really see? Maybe I didn't watch these episodes the first time around, but I caught a rerun the other day. Paul Rudd was on that show quite a bit.
Oh, my gosh. I have the biggest crush on Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd, if you're listening, I have a crush on you.
Paul Rudd, a reputed Sun on the Strip listener. This whole activation makes me think about the movie-themed attractions that we have on the Strip right now, like the Hunger Games.
The Avengers.
Exhibit at MGM, right, the Avengers thing at Treasure Island. I think there's definitely room for more TV-themed attractions and shows in Vegas. Maybe it's something along the lines of the late, great Star Trek experience at the former Las Vegas Hilton.
My biggest regret in all of my Vegas life is having missed the Star Trek experience by like a month.
That's right up there for me, too. I was here, but I never went to it.
I think we could have like a Breaking Bad experience out in the desert, maybe near Seven Magic Mountains.
That sounds... Maybe we can do something a little less dangerous on the Strip.
I see.
Breaking Bad would be a good idea. You know, our colleague Jeff Carter, not too long ago, wrote a little piece in Las Vegas Weekly that the Excalibur should consider re-theming itself around Game of Thrones.
I agree.
I think that's an excellent idea.
And if you go historical, the MGM Grand actually started with a Wizard of Oz theme, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
That was before my time here, but there's some really cool photos if you dig around on the internet.
I did go to that. It was kind of a big Emerald City type thing, and Dorothy was out front, and yeah.
That's really goofy. Cool.
It was right in the middle of the casino, though, which seemed strange in retrospect that they would take that valuable real estate up with a attraction like that.
But well, maybe that's why they changed it.
Maybe.
I'm trying to think of any other TV movie crossovers. I know that I think also at MGM Grand, if you want, I've never tried this, but you can do those like TV viewing things.
Yeah, they still have those. I think they have one of those at Bally's too, where, yeah, it's like in the little mall area and you can go in there and watch a bunch of shows. And basically they use that to help, or so they say, help decide which shows might get picked up, like test out new shows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I have the patience to do that myself, but it might be fun if you were visiting.
Yeah, and you were just looking for something to do and you love television. Any other good crossovers? I mean, definitely Caesar's Palace hugely benefited from the Hangover movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was almost its own cottage industry of tourists and costumes and theme trips and one-man wolf packs and all that.
I think you could still get Hangover t-shirts in the gift shops at Caesars, probably.
I'm sure.
How have we not had a Sopranos-themed something in Las Vegas? Maybe we have. Maybe there was like a parody show of that at some point.
I mean, we have the Mob Museum.
Seems like same thing.
Speaking of museums and movie crossovers, I can't wait to check out the Tim Burton exhibit at the Neon Museum. And in fact, our own Jeff Carter actually just interviewed Tim Burton when he came a day or two ago.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that too. I wish I could have gone to the big opening thing where he was actually there. There you go. Maybe that's a thing. Maybe we need a Tim Burton. Maybe we need a Beetlejuice. I mean, it's Halloween almost.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a little Beetlejuice or Edward Scissorhands strip exhibit.
Well, the Tim Burton exhibit, I think, is called Lost Vegas. And it's going to run through like February, so we will have a chance to see it and vote with our feet, so everybody should go.
Yeah, if you're in town and you're on the Strip, get off the Strip and go downtown and check out the Neon Museum if you haven't already. It's amazing.
And then go back onto the Strip and check out all the Friends stuff.
There you go. Cindy, thanks as always.
Thank you, Brock. Or should I call you Ross?
So I'm recording this on Tuesday, October 15th, and therefore must mention this now breaking news that you will have already read about by the time you listen to The Sun on the Strip. The deal for Circus Circus between MGM Resorts and Treasure Island owner Phil Ruffin has been finalized at the price of $825 million. In a statement released by MGM, Ruffin is quoted, "Circus Circus has anchored the north end of the Las Vegas Strip for over 50 years, and I am excited to add it to my casino portfolio. I have tremendous respect for Jim Murren and the MGM team, and my relationship with them goes back to my friendship with Kirk Kerkorian and continues to this day," end quote. Circus Circus, of course, opened on October 18th, 1968. So we timed this one pretty close to its 51st birthday. Circus Circus was built by the legendary Jay Sarno, who also created Caesar's Palace in 1966. Circus Circus was purchased in 1974 by a group that eventually became the Mandalay Resort Group and later opened Mandalay Bay, Luxor, and Excalibur, and was acquired by MGM Resorts in 2005. Goes without saying that Circus Circus is one of the best known and easily identifiable casino resorts on the Strip. And through the years, although it's been the butt of many jokes and regularly placed atop casino death polls and silly listicles naming the next Vegas landmarks to be imploded, that kind of stuff, despite all that, it's continued to be very successful and consistently busy thanks to affordable room rates and family-friendly entertainment and an overall welcoming environment. I'm sure Phil Ruffin will be planning some major changes to Circus Circus as he did with Treasure Island, which he bought from MGM Mirage 10 years ago. It is worth noting that this transaction also includes the 37-acre Las Vegas Festival grounds at the corner of Las Vegas Boulevard and Sahara Avenue, where the Day in Vegas Hip Hop Festival is planned in November and the Intersect Music Festival in December. I'm sure these things will all go off as planned. This transaction isn't scheduled to be finalized until the end of the year, I believe. But there's no telling what Ruffin might do with that blank slate outdoor space. He could build a new resort there someday. He could sell it to someone else to build a new resort there someday. This is a bit of a crazy time in Las Vegas with a lot of land and properties possibly changing hands. This is probably just the beginning. You can stay in the know and on top of all the news by checking in regularly at LasVegasSun.com. On to Brian Newman. So if you've never heard of this guy, he really made a name for himself in the New York City club circuit, playing in places like the Oak Room, Birdland, and the Rose Bar. He likes to mix jazz influences like Miles Davis and Chet Baker with a more modern rock and roll vibe. So he's kind of perfect for Las Vegas because he also likes to mix the old with the new. And he's been pals with Lady Gaga since they both started their careers on that club circuit before she ever signed a record deal. Newman played his first stretch of shows at Nomad in May, setting up in the luxurious restaurant after the Gaga concerts at Park Theater and welcoming special guests and local entertainers to perform with him and his band. Gaga popped up there a few times too, and that really kind of set these shows off and made this thing one of those must-go experiences on the Strip. Now he's back for 20 more dates through the end of the year at the Nomad. I'll let him tell you what he has planned. This is Brian Newman.
You did a lot of fun stuff, and you had like quite a few guests during that first Nomad run. What are I guess, some of your favorite moments from those shows that stick out in your mind?
I mean, Brock, I just really loved like the camaraderie and like, you know, the community of the musicians in Las Vegas and, you know, the people that came in from LA and just like that, and having people sit in and being a part of it. You know what I mean? I think that brings the audience in more, and that just, you know, it makes it more fun for me and again, the boys. And it's a great thing. I think that's like overall, that's my favorite part about it, is that we get to play this music and play the kind of music that we like with people of like minds, and you know what I mean? It's great to be able to bring that to the great audiences that we've had.
What was your reaction to the audience turnout and their reaction? Did part of that interplay with the audience catch you by surprise? Or
oh man, you know, it makes it exciting for us. I mean, I'm so happy with the, you know, with the way the audience perceives it and enjoys it with us, you know. And I think that's something that I always try to do, is to bring them in, make them feel like they're a part of it, because they are. That's like, without them there wouldn't be any show at all. We could play to an empty room, you know, and we would have fun, but it wouldn't be the same as being able to play for, you know, 200 some people, you know, that are excited to be there. You know, I love the people that come out, and I love that kind of camaraderie between us on stage and them, you know, in the audience, and you know, it's bringing that all together.
It feels like you really accomplished your goal, or one of your goals, of kind of connecting to that spirit of, you know, Vegas entertainment from a different era. But you still, you know, you still did what you do and put your own spin on things. I'm just wondering if that was one of the more challenging parts of putting on this show.
I mean, I think it's always challenging, you know, to grab the audience, you know what I mean? But like, you know, it's being there and having done this kind of show, you know, in some capacity, you know, for the past 15 years, you know, it's great to be able to bring it there. And like you said, like it is that timeless, age old Vegas feeling, you know what I mean? But like at the same time, we do bring in our own influences, and, you know, whether that's, you know, newer music or more modern stuff or jazz, you know, some more modern jazz stuff, originals, and just being able to get all that out there and have a good time with it is really been exciting.
Having those guests, I think, also goes a long way with that stuff.
Yeah, and we're going to have a lot more, you know, some of the same favorites that we've had a lot. Jacqueline McFadden coming back for a bunch of dates. And, you know, I love hearing her sing. And there's going to be a little more, you know, duet action. There's going to be some different guys and gals coming in to perform burlesque. And we're just trying to blow it out. You know, I mean, when we first booked it, we had maybe a solid week to get everything together, you know, but now we've had months, and we've had, you know, rehearsals and time to really, really hone what we want to do. And, you know, we're not changing the whole show, but there's definitely going to be a lot of new elements and fun things. And just, we're going to come back and have another ball, man. I'm excited. And I have 16 more shows, you know, just this run alone, plus mm-hmm. the Gaga shows, which is always, always fun.
What other things do you have planned for these next shows? Maybe in terms of like, just, you know, being more comfortable in the room and seeing how things work and being able to make those little tweaks that are going to make a big difference when you get back on stage.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's one, I mean, there's many great things about MGM, but like just that they are constantly, like, even without us saying anything, they're making it better. You know, like I just got a text from I'm going to have to text you his name. I think his name's Mark, the lighting guy. And he was just real excited about the new lights that he got. You know, he said, you know, and I've, that makes me so happy to be working with someone that wants to make it better too, that wants to do little things. I know that the restaurant is going to do some light bites and some cocktails, and there's some new options as far as like dinner before the show, and which is just amazing. You know, it's just bringing more of an experience to the room, and it lends itself for people are happier when we get on stage And then everybody's having, and then I'm happier, and everybody's having a good time. I mean, I think that's, you know, many places I've played over the years, the ones that stick and the ones that we've been with a long time are the ones that have all the things, the great level of service, the nice people. People are fun. They're having a good time working there. People are coming in. You know, it's just, that's important too. You need all facets of that in a performance setting to be able to make that work, you know?
What about, I guess the same question for the jazz and piano shows with Gaga. What can we expect from the next round of those performances?
Oh man, there's always surprises. There's always fun stuff happening. You know what I mean? The music that we're playing in that is just incredible. You know, we've had so many great arrangers. You know, our tenor player Steve Cortica, our pianist Alex Smith, and Daniel Foose, and myself. You know, arranged a lot of the music for that show, and just to be able to hear that on a big stage like that is great. So, you know, I don't want to say too much about it because I want everybody to be surprised and you know, and enjoy it. But I'm always excited for that. That's like, that really is a dream come true, just to be in Vegas in general with my own show. And then to be able to play with her and in that capacity with a 30-piece orchestra, there's nothing better. There's nothing better for a musician, you know, for me at least, in the world.
There seems like there's more room for improvisation and more space to change things up and keep it interesting than in some of the other, you know, the kind of the traditional headliner residency shows. Most of them don't change around that much. I know Aerosmith has been playing with it, that list, quite a bit since they started playing at Park Theater earlier this year. But that show really strikes me as an innovation on the traditional Vegas headlining gig because of that that flexibility.
Oh, totally. And, you know, and not to gush about her, but she's like a soloist. She changes the way she sings the songs every night. There's different, you know, like she is like a jazz soloist, like as far as like, you know, I take a trumpet solo one night, it's going to be different the next night. And she does that with her voice and the way she moves, and just her whole persona is incredible, you know. And that's, it's great to see her stretch on those jazz shows and really just and feel it and enjoy it, you know, the way that we do, you know.
What else are you working on beyond Vegas these days? What else is keeping you busy when you're not getting ready for Vegas?
Man, we're in Brooklyn. You know, I live in Brooklyn, and you know, a lot of time with my family, and just, you know, well, before we get on the road there, they're actually going to come out with me for a little while. Angie, my wife, Angie Pontani, is going to be dancing with us, which is exciting. She couldn't make the last run, so that's going to be, she's one of the greatest burlesque dancers of all time. So I'm really, really excited to have her. And we've been getting ready for that. You know, she's been making her costumes and getting stuff together. And we've been playing at the Rose Bar at the Gramercy Park Hotel, like always, every Tuesday and Thursday, and Saturday nights at this little supper club called Fine and Rare, and, you know, traveling, doing private events. And we got some shows coming up on the East Coast in November November and December. And we're just working on that going forward. Hopefully we'll be recording a couple nights at the Nomad too for maybe an EP we're going to come out with next year.
That's really exciting. That could be super cool.
Yeah, and I want to get the special guests on it. And, you know, there's so many great studios and musicians in New York, that, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, in Las Vegas, that I'm excited to be able to, you know, we'll see what happens, but hopefully we'll be able to record in a live studio too, as well as some live stuff to get some content for content going for the future and have some records.
What is taking over the Strip this week? The Supply Side West Trade Show is at Mandalay Bay through Saturday. That's a 16,000 person expo in the dietary supplement, food, beverage, personal care, and sports nutrition industries. But easily the big one this week is G2E, the annual Global Gaming Summit at the SADS Expo and Convention Center, continuing through Thursday. More than 26,000 attendees were expected this year. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie was the keynote on Tuesday. The annual Casino Entertainment Awards are planned for Wednesday night at Vinyl at the Hard Rock Hotel. And retired racing driver Danica Patrick is the closing speaker on Thursday. My one big show this week is going to have to be the Jonas Brothers at MGM Grand Garden Arena. The boy band is back. They're all grown up. They got plenty of huge new hits to play on their reunion tour, and MGM is going to be the hotspot on Friday night. You can find more weekend entertainment options every Friday with my Best Bets column at LasVegasSun.com. That is going to do it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Please add this show to your regular podcast roster by subscribing at Apple Podcasts and find past episodes at LasVegasSun.com/podcasts. Thank you for listening. Catch you next week.